Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Good morning, everyone. I am super excited you have decided to escape 1 hour with me today. I am super excited for you guys to listen to this episode. If you are a real estate investor, this is the one that you want to pay attention to. I have got my friend here, Marcella. She is from Austin, Texas. She is from Upplex Multifamily Investments. They are a private equity firm. They're designed for more attainable for investors to invest in these incredible wealth building assets. And she's going to talk to us about that. She has her wonderful husband that's a partner with her and principal at Upplex. They are accredited real estate investors who have been investing in real estate since 2006. So they went through that downturn. So we're going to get to talk about what that looked like, how they progressed, how they scaled out of that, and how they took it from a small rental portfolio to a very large commercial real estate portfolio. Their first investment passive was 1200 plus. This is amazing. This is going to be such good information today. I am so excited. The part that tugs on my heartstrings, guys, is that she also is a Navy veteran, and she also has a degree in medical services, and her husband has an MBA and 27 years of active duty in the Navy as well. He's retired. So they also own and operate 100% veteran-owned company, which I think is amazing. We have so many opportunities to get information out to veterans, and I think this is going to be great. So let's dive right in. Welcome this morning. And why don't you jump in and tell everybody probably a lot better bio background than what I just did.
Love it. Thank you so much for having me on this show. I am very much looking forward to adding value to your community. My name is Marisela Soberanes. We are based out of Austin. My husband and a business partner, Chris Linger, also based out of Austin. We are veterans, as you mentioned. I think you did a really good lining up all the foundation of who we are. And I think the most valuable part of it is, you know, starting small and then on the real estate and then scaling, which I think that's one of the most common questions that we get. You know, how to get started? What is this real estate thing? You know, how can I do that on the side, continue to grow my business and pretty much build the wealth that we all looking to build?
Yeah. And so I think people are scared, right? They look at real estate and they hear that it's like the best investment, right? But then they also hear about these downturns that happen and foreclosures, and then they get nervous. And I'm a risk taker. I'm an entrepreneur, just like yourself, just like Chris. And so I think for me, I like to educate my guests that are listening or anyone that comes back and listens to us later. What did that look like when you and Chris decided, okay, we're going to jump into real estate? What were you doing right before that? And how did you know that it was time in 2006?
Well, 2006, actually, we didn't met until 2017, just to clarify that. So yeah. 2006 was crazy me looking for a place to live and looking at the housing setting. I'm from Mexico originally, so I have no idea that a duplex was a thing. You know, that was step number one, not knowing really what my options were. All I knew is that I wanted to move out of my apartment and my next, you know, step and growing out of that after graduating from nursing school was to buy a house. But I didn't really have an idea of what kind of housing. All I knew is that I really didn't need a big house. It was just me and my little dog. So I figured I just want like a, I don't know, is there such a thing as a one bedroom house? And, you know, thankfully I had a good agent and he mentioned the duplex concept. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So again, thankfully somebody gave me the direction and in which financially it makes sense for me not to get in a big house or even being able to rent one side and live in the other side. Again, later on, I discovered this is house hacking. And this, I was just being economical. I was trying to be practical. So when I moved to a different city and a different state, actually, to go to school, I rented out that side, both sides. And I was like, this is really nice. Like that house mortgage is being paid by somebody else. I really wasn't profiting a lot. Again, I didn't really know what I was doing. And I thought I had enough savings to make that survive for the 3 years that I was going to be in school out of state. And that didn't work. So mistake number one, find a mentor.
We have many of them. I tell people that I coach, clients of mine, I said, if you fail, it's going to happen. You just have to fail forward. Learn from the mistake and move on. Let it go.
Yeah,
move on.
Exactly. Exactly. To say the least, it definitely was. Well, you know, I was going to say it was scary, but when you don't know what you don't know, you just don't know. And like a little baby, you just take the next step and just keep moving forward and learning. The most important thing was that I was taking notes. I was learning along the way. And then, so that was the beginning. They're definitely unknown and unexplored. And if I had to do it again, I would definitely engage mentorship. I will engage coaching. I will engage at least somebody that has done what I wanted to do. But that was the beginning. Then slowly, when I came back after graduating from grad school for anesthesia, I got a better job, a better paying job, and I pay out the house, mistake number two. And then I graduated with $250,000 on student loans. I paid those off in 18 months, mistake number three. And again, like if you don't know what you're doing, then it's going to be really easy to go and make the wrong decisions. And although for most, I would say traditional people in America, paying off the house is amazing. Paying off your student loans is awesome. Like I was getting kudos. I was getting like, yeah, you're doing the right things. Reality is that to build wealth, you have to be able to leverage debt and the good type of debt. And you know, now looking back, knowing what I know now, I could have invested the money that I paid off and, you know, continue to build a portfolio. And
yeah, I think that you're right. A lot of the mentality is so different now. I'm sure that you and I would agree our age bracket before us, they didn't want debt. That was like looked at that. Oh my goodness, we have to pay off the car. We have to pay off the house. You don't want to have student debt. And I think that we really do have to try to start shifting that mindset that the debt is actually leverage. And especially if it's in real estate, it's growing equity every year. The land value, the housing market, although it might have small little bumps where it might go down some, we don't have these big, huge downturns very often. Especially like in places like you're in Austin, it is booming there. And where we live, it is booming. We're in a corridor between Interstate 55 and 12. So even during the 2008 housing crash, we didn't see that. We saw influx of people that were coming. And so to change the mindset, it's truly hard for people to sit back and say, okay, I have $200,000 in debt for school and I'm not going to pay it off. By the way, I'll tell you, I did that mistake. We built a house. We had a bunch of equity in it. And instead of someone coaching me and teaching me that I needed to keep all of that cash, I paid off my husband and I student loans together. And we took all of our cash flow out. And then we started back with zero, you know? So it was like, you're right. Mentorship, coaching on these things, it is scary. But if you have somebody that can walk you through it or that's been through it and made the mistakes like you and I have, then you feel a little bit more comfortable with understanding that. Do you find that people are more hesitant when you say, don't pay off your debt? When you teach people and when you're coaching and mentoring, are they like, are you serious? Like, how is that not going to help me? You know?
Right. When you explain why and then actually run the numbers, like, okay, this is what your cash is now. And then if depending on where you put it, like run through the numbers and run through a real life scenario. And we'll talk maybe a little later on the model that we use now, the syndication. You put $50,000 in 3 to 5 years, the goal is to, or the projection is to double the money. So let's just suppose that I paid the 200, that it was 250, but let's stay with 200 for easy numbers. If I put that money in a syndication, maybe I don't have the whole 200 because it took me 18 months. Let's say that I have 100 in the first year. Invest that one at 100, in 5 years double that. So that's 200. In 10 years double that. That's 400 times two. That's 800. In 10 years, as of like now, it was been about 15 years, I would have $1.5 million if I invested that money.
That's right.
Instead, I don't have that. And yes, I corrected my course, but like if I show that to somebody, they're more likely to think, oh wow, like hold on a minute, you know, let me run my scenario. How much can I save this year? And then do the same course, running them through. And again, the easiest way for us is syndication because it's a passive investment. You don't have to neglect or distract your attention from building your career, building your business, continue to grow that aspect that actually brings you cash flow instead of putting your money in an area of your life that is not bringing you back anything. And
Right.
you can still keep in good status if you pay the minimum. So you can pay the minimum for decades. And again, as at this point, it becomes not a bad debt, but a good debt if you are making the minimum payments as to actually showing and building your credit if you didn't
I'm
have
going to
any.
let you get into that a little bit more because I think when people listen to the episode, a lot of people are going to say, "What in the world is syndication?" They're not even going to know. They're not going to know where to go find that information. They're going to go to Google and get all kinds of misinformation. I do want to go back to that, but let's talk about, so you made the mistakes, you paid it off. So where do you go from there?
Right. So I had started again. I have to start my savings from zero. Then I learned how to use the leverage of the lending. And well, the second property that I bought, it was I thought I would be my forever home. And I lived there for about maybe a year and a half. And then I started renting rooms and renting the property as an Airbnb. I started traveling for work. And again, those two properties were being paid as I was traveling to go to work, and it was being paid. That was another, I guess, aha moment when I realized, okay, wait a minute, if I can repeat this process like 20 times, I was about 30 something at that time. I figure by the time it's time for me to retire, I should be having been able to replace my income. And when I graduated in 2009, the entry level for my profession was about 250, 260,000 a year. So that was my goal. That was my number. If I can get this many houses and it gives me back this much, then I can at least replace my income. So that was my goal at that time. Then I deployed in 2016, and I took the time to learn a little more about building wealth, actually using leverage, building a portfolio, taking advantage of the taxation laws. And when I came back from overseas, I have saved all of my money and I was able to get what I thought is just a larger complex. It was a fourplex. And
Yeah.
then I'm like,
So we
okay,
go
don't
from
be too
two to
mean.
four.
Yes. Yeah. So I slowly built that portfolio. Got 12 or 13 doors. And then I met my husband. And less than a year, maybe a year and a half, we almost tripled that portfolio. So we had 35 apartments in 2020. And that was at that point, that portfolio was cash flowing enough to retire me from my job and be perfectly happy. Just, you know, I have reached my goal and what I thought it would take
So
me
can you
20
talk,
years.
because I have a lot of people that ask me, Erica, when you say leverage, what do you mean? And when I explain leverage, it's easy for me to understand because I know what it is. So I'm interested to hear what your definition of leverage is, because sometimes people don't know that they actually have leverage in the real estate that they already currently own. So can you, I would like to hear your definition of that for anyone that's listening.
Yep. So the first leverage is when you buy a rental property, the lender is going to ask you to put, well, they just changed the regulations right now. Fannie and Freddie are taking 5% down. And in some states, if you are living in that property, they actually ask 0% down. We actually did record a webinar with an amazing speaker. But let's just suppose I put 25% down on a rental property. And this was in 2016, maybe. So 25% down, and the rest of it, you're using a loan most of the time. So that's the leverage. And no other investment category, you can go to the stock market and say, hey, I want $50,000 of investment, but I only have 10%. No other investment opportunity will allow you to do this. That's the leverage that you have with the real estate. And that's because the lenders have that the is a hard asset, so they don't see it as risky. As long as they underwrite it, they underwrite the property, they is going to bring enough cash flow to pay the debt, they're completely happy. And you can repeat this over and over and over. You can have up to 10 or 12, depending on what year you listen to this, mortgages on your name. And most people, when they start buying their rentals, they buy that under their name. And then what we did is we grouped that in with a local bank, and it gave us a line of credit, a business line of credit. So they underwrote the portfolio, put different, they put loans for each property. And then out of those properties, they took the equity and they gave us a line of credit. So the line of credit was based on the equity of the portfolio. It was, I don't know, 13 properties. And that also is leveraging not only the bank, because we still asked for a loan for when we bought a house, but now we were able to activate the equity of the properties that we had in the rental portfolio.
So do you call, I consider that like a cross collateral. Is that what you're using? Yes. So yes. Just so clarification, so if anyone's listening to anything that I've taught or talk about or have conversations with people that want to invest, that's exactly what she's talking about, using the cross collateral to get the line of credit. Meaning that if you bought a property and you had to put 20% down, or like she said, now some of them will allow you to do 5 or 10% down, especially if you're not doing it as an investment property, you're going to buy it under your single individual name. Now you can turn around and say, okay, well, I put the 20% down. The 20% now gets me out of that PMI. So that is my actual equity. So now if I go to go buy another piece of property and I need the 20% down, you're under your 80% value that the loan is going to require. So then you can use that money to then turn around and purchase. It's called cross collateral. Look it up if you're listening. It will allow you to use that down payment or that equity in that particular investment property to be utilized as your down payment. So you're not completely coming out of your cash flow every single time, because that can get draining, right? Especially in a market like this, if you're buying a duplex or a fourplex. I know how much property costs in Austin. You can probably look up to see how much properties cost in Orange Beach, where we bought our properties, but it's expensive. $500,000. $600,000. So do the math on that, guys. 20%, you're looking at over $100,000 for a down payment. So you want to make sure that you're leveraging, cross-collateraling those dollars so that you're not having to use your cash flow. And then the minute that that particular property meets its 80% or its 20%, then they'll release those funds, and then you can do it again so that you're not having to come out. Is that my understanding from what you were saying? I'm just making sure we're talking the same language to everybody.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So again, it's scary. And if you don't know the terminology, and especially you want to work with, my favorite thing that you said in that statement was that a local bank, you need to work with a local lender that knows you, that knows what you're trying to do, that you've worked with before. Don't just walk into a branch and expect them to give you $500,000, you know, or a line of credit. Go somewhere that you actually have a relationship, because they're going to be more willing to work. And then also, absolutely, I'm sure you would agree with me, you want to look at properties that I consider the good deal, right? And those are sometimes hard to find. The ones that are not, that you're not buying at such a high premium price so that you don't have any equity in them. Is that the properties that you guys are typically looking at? Or so, are you buying them at a premium price?
So no, at that point, we actually were looking for properties that needed work, and that was our value add. And like I said, we were able to buy the properties cash and then finance the fixing and the renovations, and then put a land, I mean, put a tenant, and then take that into the bank and say, okay, let's add this to the portfolio, which was now a cash flowing, already improved property. But we did it all with the money from the equity and of the homes. So we just added that. And yeah, and once that you get to that level, you don't even, we didn't have, probably for the last six properties, we didn't have any of our money in the buying or fixing.
Yeah, because you can roll it all in. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what we did. We purchased, our last one was on the Gulf Coast in Orange Beach. It was definitely a fixer-upper, but the property and the view was amazing. And I knew if it could rent that it would pay for itself, and then it would also have cash flow at the end of every year. And so we were. Now we did, because it was a bigger property, we had to use our equity cash. So we put our down payment down, but then we fixed it up and put another $100,000 into it. And it's been cash flowing. And within, just with the added value in it, it gained over $250,000 worth of equity. It's possible, people.
Awesome.
Like, you can do it. You just have to be willing to put a little sweat into it up on the front end. But then, just like she said, it gets easier because then you're not having to use your cash. If you put your cash up front, do a little bit of the work yourself. And then if you put tenants in it, or if you're going to Airbnb it, we just rent ours out. It's on the beach, so it rents itself out. But that's truly the passive part, because now I don't touch it. And I think that's one part that I love. When I looked you guys up and I'm reading and I'm watching your YouTube videos, you talk a lot about passive income. Tell everybody about passive income, because when I think of passive income, I'm not touching it. I buy it, I fix it, I rent it, and I leave it. I'm not touching it anymore.
Absolutely. See, most people, when we think real estate investing, we think we're going to build this cash flowing portfolio and then we're going to retire and be happily ever after. And what we see in reality is that we buy ourselves into another job. You know, call it, you know, the renting it, the process of acquiring, remodeling, like we often fall ourselves into that active role. So what we wanted to do, as I mentioned, we had our portfolio and we were self-managing, writing up the leases, you know, answering maintenance calls. We did it all. We did the whole, you know, active part. So when COVID hit, we knew we wanted to keep our cash flow. We were cash flowing about 380 a year. And that with the portfolio, we wanted to keep the cash flow. We wanted to scale somehow. But again, we were using already all of our techniques with the leveraging. Well, we needed more capital. And we wanted to move those loans into a different entity that didn't show in our personal. So it was the decreased liability, scalability, and hands off. Those were the three things that were important to us. So what we learned is that to scale, we needed to bring fresh capital, which means we needed to bring capital from investors. Investors like security, like they like everything, you know, to go by the rules. So we learn how to do the syndication model. Syndication might be a scary word, especially if you haven't heard it. Syndication just means that you buy as a group. Within the group, you have a group of active investors, which is the group of people that finds the deal, on the rights analysis, does the due diligence, you know, inspections and everything, sets up all the legal entities to then bring passive investors. Passive investors they're merely capital investors. They're capital partners. They are passive. They still get the benefit of the cash flowing as well as the tax benefits from the investment. And that's what we did. We started learning about it. We started learning, selling our portfolio and going into passively investing into syndications. In 9 months, we went into 8 syndications, pretty much month after month. We diversified our portfolio to include different type of properties, newer, older, what we call A, B, and C type of properties, different states and different groups, so that we can learn across the spectrum what did a syndication look like from the investor point of view. So that's when we started investing. Then we also started diversifying to do mobile home parks and self-storages. I can definitely dive into that more. However, because people often converse, why do you do this part? Why do you do this part? Because together provided us with tax benefits from the large depreciation that is triggered by the cost segregation with the apartments. We got cash flow from the assets that were more cash flowing, like the mobile home parks and self-storages. And we were hands off because all of the apartments were on a syndication model, which needed active investor group of GPs, general partners, and we were limited partners. And then on the joint ventures, we had a small role, but it was less than answering calls from maintenance and attending to all of those.
So I think when you talk about that, I already hear people that are local that talk to me, that invest, they talk about their investment opportunities and what they're doing. And you hear so many people that get worried about doing partnerships or joint ventures with other people. Talk to our guests a little bit about how you educated yourself on who were the right partners, who was the best people to do joint ventures with, because that is scary because you're bringing people into your world. You grew this portfolio to this beautiful, you just said, it was revenueing $350,000 a year. So how do you explain to someone that would say, why would you bring someone else in? And then what does that partnership look like? You know, let's say, for example, if one of your partners is in California.
Yeah. So that's a really, really good question. And to answer that, I will say you always are doing due diligence in your partners, even until the day of, like today. And that is because people changes, perspective changes. The property is going to challenge you with situations that you might not encounter, even though you've been friends with your partners or you know them well from other situations. There is always that ongoing getting to know that partnership. However, at the beginning, there was definitely that learning curve for us. I will say that's probably one of the most difficult or challenging parts of growing and scaling, having the trust on somebody else. However, like through the legalities of the paperwork, you have to make sure that your money is protected as well as their money, that the property is protected. So in every entity, we have 2,900 apartments across four different states. So each partner, each deal, each complex has its own entities, one that operates and one that owns. And then the investors invest in the entity that owns. And that is a legal setup. Every deal is going to have a legal team. So it's definitely more complex than, hey, I like you, I'm going to do a deal with you. Okay. Now, when you do deals as a joint venture, meaning that every partner in the partnership has a active role. At syndication, there is an active and a passive role. Being passive, you want to make sure that you know everybody in the partnership and the active role. And you know, that definitely, we actually have a series of questions that we ask that we, you know, when we talk to our potential investors or people that we mentor in our community, these are the things that you should ask. If you, for some reason, don't feel comfortable, don't feel like that question was answered to your full, satisfaction, then you don't have to go in a deal. And also what we do is we help other people to take a look at what they're going to invest before they invest as a favor and you know, just to send them with questions, because that first time that you see a syndication offering, you're looking at a like foreign language pretty much. So you don't know what conservative looks like. You don't know what aggressive looks like in the underwriting, the assumptions that they're making. So we've seen it. We can pretty much spotlight the areas that you should be looking at. And that's one thing that we do for our community. But as far as when we associate or we partner with somebody, there is a whole checklist that we do. I'll mention a couple of the questions that we ask, like, what are the investments that you currently have? How are they doing and performing? Do you have any investors other than yourself and your properties and your projects? And I want to interview them. I want to interview at least a handful, make sure that you are a person that I want to deal with and that I want to do business with. What is your role? What type of loans are you associated, especially right now? There's a lot of loans that are not doing well. And if you are the one signature in the loan, your credit and your record is going to affect my deal. So all of those are some questions that, again, I don't
want to spend the time. I love it. I hope everybody got their pen out and was writing some of those beautiful, I call them nuggets. When I throw something out and it's good, you better grab it. Those were all great things. And so I'm interested to know how you are a coach and a mentor now. Who was your coach and mentor? Who did you reach out to gain knowledge this way? Are you partnered with them now so that then you teach their same progression that they taught you? Are you a part of that mentorship? Like, give them the nugget. Tell them where we're at. Where did you come from?
Absolutely. So the first mastermind that we joined was for more like all kinds of real estate, because that was before we decided to go with the apartments and the commercial real estate. So then we grew out of that community. We're still part of that community. We still love the people that is in that community, but we are now better served with the larger complex and the, you know, analysis of market and different underwriting techniques. Or one of our early coaches was Brad Sombrock, and he teaches you how to analyze a property and how to go from analyzing it to getting it under contract. And then we came across with Grant Cardone, Mr. 10X, and he helps you how to think bigger. One of his most impactful questions to us was, do you have enough money to be grateful? And about 1,000 people in the room agreed that we had enough money to be grateful. And the next question is, do you have enough money to make an impact? And I think that's one of the things that he continuously challenged you to think bigger, that it's selfish to think that if I pay my bills, I'm okay. If I take care of my family, that is your responsibility. We as human beings, we have the desire to serve and to impact more people. So that's the trajectory that we took. So he is one of our big mentors as well. And now we had partner. Yes, we have 202 unit property with Brad Sombrock and another set of coaches. And with Grant Cardone, we are now licensees and we are elite coaches for his community. And that's how we came about to being coaches. We were coaching before, but definitely having the structure, having that framework that he taught us is more pretty much it 10x is your results. And we are part of that community proudly.
You guys can't see her, but when she talks about her coaches, she smiles. And if you've been listening to my episodes, and believe me, I have episodes that are going to go all the way through March already this year. We are booked all the way through March.
Nice.
Every person that I bring on that is scaling and that is over 6, 7, 8 figures, the key word there is coaching. Some people think that coaching is just a word and it's somebody that's there to tell you what to do, how to do something. But my truth is that I've been coached over a year now, and I have a mastermind coach that I work with one-on-one. And if you are open to some of these, now look, there are some coaches out there that are just they're not going to give you any growth, right? They're just there to mentor you, and that's okay. But if you connect with people that are actually coaching you and helping you learn something and educate and put something into place to then in turn turn around and impact somebody else's life, I think that those are the coaches that are truly out there. I think that Grant is one to be quite amazed with for that partnership. I follow him, I read him, I watch him on YouTube. He is amazing. So to have that name attached to you guys, it speaks volumes for you and what you've done with your portfolio, and especially to coach with him. I am so humbled that you were here with me. And then also to say that you were coached by someone and now your coach believed in you enough that now you actually are partnered with him on an investment opportunity. And so I think for anyone that's listening, I think that You are 100% correct. Impacting people's life is what we were meant to do. We do have responsibilities every day. We have to pay bills. We have to work in some way, form, or fashion, whether it's coaching that's still working or if you're doing real estate, there is still working with that. But impacting people's life is what I think I know is my calling. I know that that's what I started my podcast for. It was not to boast that I have a podcast. It was to bring people like you and Chris on here to talk about how do we educate somebody else to take their little bit of money. Because let's think about it. A lot of people don't have $250,000 or, you know, $300,000 to go and invest in something. They might be taking everything that they've saved their entire life for this grand opportunity to see if it will work. And if it doesn't work and it fails because they did not know something, I feel like we failed as our job in real estate and as a contractor to not give them the nuggets that they need to succeed. Because what if somebody didn't tell you something? Where would you be? You might have given up and not tried again, right? And so I think that that's an amazing story and amazing pat on the back for you guys. That's amazing. I didn't realize that grant was part of y'all's portfolio, or that you were actually part of them until I looked you guys up and really started reading after we had met. And I think that that's truly a testament to what you guys are doing. And I am so excited for you guys. And I hope that y'all continue to touch lives, because I think that that's what this is about, right? I think that a lot of I'm going to have to look up Brett. I wrote his name down. I'm always interested to see who's being coached by who, so that I can go and go look at that and educate myself. I listened to a podcast this morning. I am constantly educating. If I could tell anybody that's listening right now, educate, educate, educate. If you are not learning, then you are stalling, and stalling is the worst thing that you can do, in my opinion. So tell everybody two things that you want them to leave with today that they can do, or what you're, how to change their mindset. Two things. What's your best two coaching nuggets today?
Take massive action. That's the right amount of action. Some people take no action. Some people take halfway action and then make up excuses. And massive action is the only action that is going to get you results. And make mistakes, make them fast, because the sooner that you make them, the sooner that you learn. People tend to over-educate themselves and never pulls the trigger. I have met people over like years, and the same conversation takes place. So make sure that you're, I'm not saying go make the mistakes, but go take action that's going to then trigger you into being on front of opportunities to learn. And the faster that you do that, the faster that you're going to progress.
I love it. I love it. My word this year that was spoken to me is elevate. You have elevated me today. You have educated me today. You have educated my listeners, and I am so humbled, truly. Please stay in contact with me. Please, let's stay connected. I think that we have the opportunity to educate, maybe even host a small event and have you guys come here and educate and talk. I would love that. Just to spread education to help everyone else elevate. My word is elevate. It's not only elevate me, it is elevate somebody else. It's elevate my community, and it is to elevate my relationship with God this year. And I am so grateful that you were here. So where can everybody find you? Spill the beans.
So on Instagram, I'm the immigrant millionaire, because I'm both. I'm the immigrant underscore a millionaire. And if you are okay with this, I would like to offer a link to my free book. Actually, it's an Amazon for sale, but I would love to give it to your audience for free. I can send you the link and they can download it. It's all about syndication and how to structure, how to go about it. So since I didn't get the time to explain, Facebook, you can find me with my name, Maricela Soberanes. And we also have a YouTube channel. I can share all those links for you. There's a lot of content that we offer for educational purposes.
Yes, guys. And look, I'm going to have her send me over the link. I will also tag whenever we go to launch the episode, I will have your bio on there for everybody. I'll also tag the link there too. And then I'll also tag your Instagram and your Facebook. You guys, they have YouTube videos. I am sure if you reach out or you DM, there is going to be so much love that's shown to you. Emails, newsletters, all kinds of free things that she sends out to you guys. Just make sure that you're staying connected. That is the key word. Connection and relationships is how we grow. Education is how we implement. So thank you so much for being here today. I'm not sure exactly when this will launch or when it will drop this episode, but we're in December and we just had Christmas. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Merry Year Christmas. To 2024 and many blessings to you and your family. And guys, thank you so thank much you. For taking this hour with me today to escape and also to remember always embrace, empower, and elevate. That is how we continue to grow.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.